I heard Jesus tell the story about a wayward son who had finally found the courage to go home. And he fell before his father, saying, "After all I've done, I'm unworthy to be called your own." Yet I never really understood his agony and shame until the bitter moment I denied the Savior's name. Until then, I'd only watched him cleanse and heal. Until then, when my need for his forgiveness was so real, oh, I never knew the way his grace would feel. Until then, until then, I recall how Mary poured out the costliest perfume to prepare the Savior for what was to come. Though the fragrance of her sacrifice dared to fill the room, I still didn't understand such love. No, it wasn't till I really saw the price he had to pay. I knew it was my sin that held him to the cross that day. Until then, I'd only watched him cleanse and heal. Until then, when my need for his forgiveness was so real, oh, I never knew the way his grace would feel. Until then, until then, until repentance brings you to your knees, you never realize all the love that you discover in the Master's eyes.
And, you know, since when do Mom and Dad go to church on a Friday?
Since we've been over this. Since they found Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot they found Jesus. Oh, no! Easter's never going to be the same again. It used to be about little bunnies and chocolate and little chicks and chocolate and napping and chocolate. Now it's going to be like some weird religious holiday.
Will you just stop being so dramatic? Okay, Easter will be what we make it. Right? The important thing is to understand. Come on, let's get inside. Mom said they'd wait for us in the foyer and they wanted to meet the pastor and some of their friends.
Not people. No, I'm not sure about this, okay? I mean, churches are for weddings and for funerals. I don't see much point in going to them in between that. All right, even when Mom asks, okay? And it's just, you know, the whole concept of church isn't really relevant anymore.
Then just think of it as a funeral, okay? Isn't that what Good Friday's about, you know, Jesus dying and stuff?
I don't know. I don't go to church, all right? And if it is, why would they call it Good Friday? That's weird.
Right, I think it's because he died for a good cause or... Oh, no. Mom said something about him dying for all the sins of people or... Anyway, come on, let's get inside. They're waiting for us.
No. I'm not sold on this, okay? I mean, how do we even know what we're getting ourselves into? And do you really think that's what Mom said about Good Friday? Because I always thought that Good Friday was just a day off to prepare for Easter.
What she said. Really freaking you out, isn't it? Okay, all right, just take a deep breath, okay? Pull yourself together. Try not to think about it.
That's really cute. That's so cute. You're adorable. I mean, I'm not really freaking out, okay? I'm just a little confused. Doesn't this whole thing seem kind of strange to you? I mean, what sort of dude would die for people he doesn't even know?
I don't know.
Exactly. It's weird.
Kind of strange and rather tragic, really. I guess I just find the whole idea sort of... Come on, we gotta get inside. The service is gonna start and Mom and Dad are waiting.
Okay, but for the record, I have a very bad feeling about this.
Hey, buddy, watch where you're going.
Why don't you watch where you're going? I was just standing here minding my own business.
Oh, no. Not you again. What are you doing? Following me?
Me following you. Me following you. I think not.
What then? Because here we are again, just like last time.
No, not quite like that at all, actually. I was just standing here, and this time you ran... Never mind.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Watching for Jesus.
Who?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, him.
Right.
Yeah, I think pretty much a goner. Pretty getting crucified today. Not well for him. What a nasty end to a rather short career. You know, I really thought that he might be the Messiah. I guess I was wrong. You know, all that talk about love and being the Son of God.
Well, that's a bit insensitive, don't you think? You know, a lot of people are really disappointed and hurting today. Me included.
Well, so are we. Just call him like I see him.
Huh.
Love ain't gonna win this time, I'm thinking.
Well, don't be so sure of that. He predicted this, you know. No, really, he did. Apparently, he had one final dinner with his inner circle, where he predicted all sorts of things. He told them that one of them was going to betray him. And he said that the rest would be scattered like frightened little rabbits. And get this. He told Peter, his close friend, that he was going to deny him. Well, you know Peter. Well, maybe you don't know him, but I know him. And he said, Lord, even if everybody else bails on you, I will never deny you. Well, apparently Jesus looked right at him and said, Peter, believe me, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.
Wow. Now there's a slap in the face. So what did Peter say? If he was mad, I sure would have been.
Well, I'm sure he was a little more hurt than mad, but after supper, they all went up to the Garden of Gethsemane to have a prayer meeting.
A prayer meeting? In the middle of the night? In Gethsemane? That sounds dangerous. One could get mugged at night. After dark? Me, I stay put, safe at home. So what happened?
Well, as they were praying, a big mob...
Oh, yeah, see? Just as I told you. I could have stayed put.
Anyway, this big mob, led by none other than Judas Iscariot, Jesus' treasurer, rumored to be as crooked as the day is long, well, he strides right up to him, greets him as master, and gives him a kiss on the cheek.
I'm thinking that wasn't a kiss of friendship. Was that a kiss of betrayal?
You got it. This kiss was apparently some sort of signal. And the mob moved in to grab Jesus. Well, someone, and I'm thinking it was Peter, jumped into the rescue. He grabbed his sword, and he lopped the ear off of the high priest's slave.
Oh, the priests. Huh. So it was a lynching by the temple establishment. See? I told you that you can't just barge in there and mess with those guys. Wow. So what happened next?
Well, apparently as soon as they grabbed Jesus, all of the other Jesus followers just scattered like frightened little rabbits. Just like he predicted.
Even Peter?
Yep. Even him.
Really? Some friend.
Well, it gets worse. Much worse.
Oh, so now I suppose you're going to tell me that the mob dragged Jesus off to the high priest in the middle of the night. Really? I didn't think those guys could do business at night. Huh. Wow. Well, then what happened?
Well, once they dragged him off to the high priest and his henchmen, during the interrogation of Jesus, Peter was being harassed by these two servant girls and some random guy in the courtyard. They were certain that they recognized him, and they said that he spoke so funny, he must be a follower of Jesus. Well, apparently Peter was so frightened, he didn't want to be found out. Three times, he denied knowing Jesus. And he even threw in some cuss words just to emphasize the point.
Oh, I think
I know where this is going. So after the third time, the rooster crowed two times, correct? Wow. How did he do that? How did he know?
Well, maybe he is who he says he is. Maybe he really will die and come back to life.
Nobody has ever done that and lived to tell about it.
Sure, you'll agree with me that that was an excellent portrayal of the events in Mark chapters 14 and 15. We're so glad that you're with us this Good Friday service. Easter, for me, is one of my very favorite times of year, and for all kinds of reasons. I love getting together with family. I love the fact that after this service, we're going to have a brunch, and all of you are included, all of you are invited, and it's, to me, exciting to be together with those that we love. We've got Melissa down with us, and later today, picking up Mark in Hamilton, and he'll be able to be here for most of Easter weekend as well. So having both Melissa and Mark here is so special to us in that sense of togetherness, and I'm sure that's true for many of you. At the same time, when I think of that idea of togetherness, the contrast, of course, would be the idea of being alone or abandoned or rejected or forsaken. In fact, when I think of my children, I think way back to an incident with Melissa. There was a bit of a mix-up. And as a young girl, she was left on her own after school. And I remember at the time, though it was not directly my fault, feeling very responsible and kind of making a vow back then that I would never allow that kind of thing to happen again. And so whether it was picking up kids from piano lessons or from hockey games or from school, I was very, very careful to be there, to be punctual, to never let my kids down. You can count on me was kind of my motto. So I remember the day. It was Mark was in high school. It was about this time of year. He had exams. And that morning he said, I need to be picked up at 1 o'clock. Dad, can you do it? And I said, sure. I knew that Heather was teaching and Melissa at the time was off out of town and university, so I thought, yeah, I can pick you up, Mark. Now, Dad, are you sure? Are you sure you can pick me up from high school? Absolutely, you can count on me. I've got the track record. You can count on me. 1 o'clock, I'll likely be there at 10 to 1. I'll be there. You can count on me. And I remember that morning, 11:30, I'm going, gonna get Mark, 12. It was about 12:30. I don't know what it was, but it was a distraction that took me out of the office here. And I went off and did my thing, and it's now 12:45, 1 o'clock, 1:15, 1:30. I'm rather relaxed. 1:45, it was about 1:50, and it hit me. I have forgot Mark. And 1:50, wherever I was, I left there promptly and quickly and headed in the direction of the Saunders High School. Before I could get even near the high school, in fact, it was just at the end of Griffith, I see this lone, solitary figure walking along, looking actually quite upset. I could pick that up from a distance. And I realized, much to my horror, there was poor Mark, feeling alone, rejected, and abandoned. When he's here on Sunday, you can get his version, which I'm sure will be even more severe than the version I shared of it. Hey, you know how you feel when you hear of someone being alone or rejected? You hear the story. It didn't hit the major papers, but it did get there in the newspapers about a young guy in the Peterborough area turning 13. This was a young fella who's got some challenges in school, and this was a big occasion for him. So excited, his 13th birthday, he invited all kinds of classmates and kids from the school, and no one responded that they could come to the party. What ended up happening in the Peterborough area was people got wind of that, and at a big convention hall, hundreds and hundreds of people showed up. In fact, sports teams and celebrities around the world responded to that young fellow. We know what it is to feel rejected or abandoned, and we want to do something about it. Now, I'm not a cat lover, not even close to a cat lover, but the other day I came across a poem called The Life of an Abandoned Cat. Listen to this poem. For cat lovers, this will be very emotional. Even for those of you who are not cat lovers, I hope this in some way touches your heart. The Life of an Abandoned Cat. I wake up in the morning to face another day. I can't believe the snow we got. I hope it doesn't stay. I wander over to a place that sits behind a shed, where a sweet and older lady comes with food, so I'll be fed. I really want to sit and let her touch me when she's there. I know she cares so much for me, but I'm really scared. The last time I trusted, it didn't go so well. They said they'd love me always, and I ended up in hell. They dropped me off and drove away. I waited for so long, I really think I always knew that something had gone wrong. The love they had when I was small was there most every day. And then I saw as time went on, it clearly went away. So now I live alone and lost and wonder all the time if I will ever get the chance to make another human mine. I think I'm getting closer to giving it a try, because my only other choice is to stay outside and maybe die. Even if you're not a cat lover, it touches something in us when we think of a child abandoned or rejected, even a pet forsaken, rejected, abandoned. But here on Good Friday, we think of the ultimate rejection, the ultimate abandonment. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ in this way. Now, if you were here on Palm Sunday, you know we used a symbol illustration with some chairs, and I'm going to ask Jeff to help me here. We're going to put a chair here that represents Jesus, and we'll put it right here. And then, Jeff, I need three other chairs. So this first chair, and what I'm going to do in the next few moments is I'm just going to really go quickly through Mark 14:15. Now, don't worry. Patrick and Dave did such a beautiful job of portraying the major incidents in these chapters. And in fact, I would invite you, even later today, to read through Mark 14 and 15. We've been on a journey all 2015 through the Gospel of Mark. Mark 14 is a significant chapter, one of the longest chapters in all of the New Testament. Remember well, as a student in seminary, when I was taking Greek exegesis, we had to do some parsing of the chapters of Mark. And I remember hitting Mark chapter 14, and I started doing it about 10 o'clock at night. And it was about 3 in the morning when I finally finished verse 74, 75, going, boy, I wish that was a shorter chapter. So it's a long chapter with lots of incidents, lots of events. Very typical to Mark's style, where he pulls it all in. But you have a first group, and I'm going to actually call this the crowd. It's going to include the religious establishment. It includes the crowd of people who on Palm Sunday cried out, "Hosanna, hail to the King! Jesus is the one." And I'm even going to include the Roman authorities. And if we go through Mark 14 and 15, what becomes so obvious to us is that they were out to get Jesus. In fact, at the start of 14, it says that the religious establishment were plotting and scheming how they might kill Jesus. And it would involve trumped-up charges, false accusations, a real travesty of justice. But it got to the point where before Pilate, and Karsten, if you'll go to the slide for us, we have the religious establishment and we have the crowds crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now, if there had ever been people who should have been with Jesus, recognized who Jesus is, and owed allegiance to him, it would have been those who were religious and spiritual. But what we find is they turned on Jesus. They rejected him. They abandoned him. And it's captured in that crying out, "Crucify him." And in Mark chapter 15, Mark is restrained. He doesn't embellish it, but he does describe the crucifixion of Jesus. And it's not only a horrific way to die, but the fact of the ridicule, and they were spitting on him, and they were mocking him, and acting like savages. It is very terrible the way Jesus was treated, rejected and abandoned by the religious establishment. But even as disturbing as his disciples, we were reminded that it was Judas, the treasurer, who was with Jesus, who was with Jesus in all kinds of situations, all kinds of intimate situations, and yet Judas sold out on Jesus for some money. Not a lot of money, but he became part of the scheme of the religious establishment. And here's Judas selling out on Jesus. And then Peter. I mean, Peter's the leader of the pack. He is the chief disciple. And Jesus predicts, "Peter, you're going to disown me." And Peter's adamant. "You can count on me, Jesus. Others might leave you. Others might desert you. But I will never leave me. I'm Peter. How would I ever even conceive of abandoning you?" We're reminded this morning that there did come a time after Peter, or after Jesus was arrested. Peter is in a courtyard, and in a critical moment, even Peter, turns his back on Jesus. The next slide captures the response of Peter, Judas, and all the disciples. It says there in Mark 14, what a phrase, "Everyone deserted him." Talk about being abandoned. It's one thing to be abandoned by the religious establishment, but even Jesus' close friends let him down. They forsook him. They abandoned him. But just when you think it can't get worse, there's another abandonment. There's another sense of Jesus being forsaken that's appalling. The more I try to figure it out, I find it incredibly mysterious and so incredibly profound. But the ultimate abandonment that Jesus experienced that first Good Friday was from God the Father. Can you imagine God the Father, Jesus the Son, for eternity have been incredibly linked together? Not a stronger relationship has ever existed than that of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. But at a critical moment, God the Father turned his back on Jesus. Let's look at the slide. It's the words that we find in Mark chapter 15. It's found in other Gospels. Interesting, this is the only saying that Mark records that Jesus said from the cross. And for Mark, this is a profound statement. where Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hey, there's a lot of scholars and others who've looked at this phrase and tried to look at it in different ways. Let me just conclude that this is real abandonment. There's nothing artificial, nothing superficial. At a critical moment, and I say this reverently, God the Father despised Jesus. The wrath of God was on Jesus. This was real abandonment. Severe sense of being forsaken. Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus suffered and died. He was wounded physically for our transgressions. In no way do I want to minimize that. But the very worst suffering that anyone could ever experience was to be forsaken by God. Again, said reverently, Jesus experienced hell. So what's so good about Good Friday? What's so good about it? Let me just give you two or three responses. Some of you already are thinking, but John, that's not the whole story. It doesn't end on the cross. And you're right. Always the dilemma I experience on Good Friday is that in the New Testament, it's always a package deal. It's the cross, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You can't make sense of the cross without the resurrection. If all we have is the cross and no resurrection, it is a pity that we have come here this morning. But at the same time, you can't really understand the resurrection unless you understand that Jesus died for us. And so in a profound way, there is more to the story. There is more to come. And we're looking forward to a celebration in this place on Sunday. There's another factor, of course, isn't there, when we think of what's so good about Good Friday. And Karsten, if you go to these scriptures, I just want to quickly mention these scriptures that we find in Mark. Mark 10:45 is likely the theme verse for the whole of Mark's gospel account. It is significant in our song, Jesus Messiah, at the start of the service. It references what we see in Mark 10:45, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, when we think of ransom, there's a price to be paid. And we used to sing a little chorus, I had a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to take that away. Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And we need to understand when it comes to Good Friday that Jesus died a vicarious, voluntary death for you and for me. And this is profound, and this is why we come with a sense of wonder and thanksgiving in our hearts, because Jesus took our place. He took on himself something that we deserved. In a moment, we're going to be celebrating communion, and Jesus said in that upper room, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. You are part of the many. You are part of that many. I am part of the many described in Mark 14:24. And then Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, he said in the garden, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Jesus knew what was to come. Jesus, in a way, dreaded what was to come. But this outstanding statement where Jesus says, yet not I will, but thy will be done. I love a statement in Romans 12 where God's will is described as good and perfect. And here's my conclusion. Good Friday is so good because God's perfect and good will was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Yes, it's important for us to appreciate that Jesus died for you and for me, and he died in that sense. But at the very ultimate sense, Jesus died in obedience to God's will. And that is an outstanding achievement of our Lord Jesus Christ when it came to why he died for us. What's so good about Good Friday? Jesus Christ died for you and died for me. In another gospel account, we have the words, Jesus crying out, "It's finished." Jesus experienced hell so that you and I would not need to ever experience hell. We have the promise of Scripture, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Why are we so confident in that? Why do we have assurance in that? Because Jesus took our place. So the other day, I'm reading through Mark 14 and 15, and I'm looking at the actions of those who put Jesus to death, and I'm feeling outraged. I'm more upset by the minute, and I'm crying out, something should have been done. Something should have happened. When we see sin for what it is, when we see these expressions of sin, we are outraged. No wonder. God has to deal with sin. But what's wonderful? Jesus Christ willingly took your place. He took my place. In one sense, it breaks our heart that Jesus was abandoned. On the other hand, it is the great truth of our Christian faith. He was forsaken. He was abandoned for you and for me. We're going to celebrate communion. And this is a good opportunity. And in the next few minutes, what we're going to be doing is responding to what Jesus has done for us. It's important for you to listen and take in, but as important in a Good Friday service is a feeling of you being able to respond to Jesus, to express gratitude from your heart, to give Jesus a sense of appreciating what he's done for you. Maybe you're here this morning and this is new to you, you're searching, and by all means, we invite you to take in the moment and what it means. But as we celebrate communion today, it's with grateful hearts that we recognize that in the bread we have a symbol of Jesus' body broken for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. At the same time, we take the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus, and it made a way possible for you and me to be reconciled to God the Father. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I think it's a good position to be in as we pray. And as we stand and pray now, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. Heavenly Father, it's with grateful hearts that we celebrate communion today. We love all these opportunities we get to celebrate the sacrament of communion, and it's with grateful hearts today that we thank you, Jesus, for taking our place. We thank you for this bread that represents your body broken, and we thank you for the juice that represents your blood that was spilled for us. Jesus, words cannot express how grateful we are for what you've done for us. Jesus, help us through your grace, through your love, to love you as we should. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to now be seated, and the choir will come to the platform. After I've broken the bread, you'll celebrate communion. I'll ask you to join with us as the emblems are being passed and sing a song that gives us an opportunity with the choir to acknowledge what Jesus did for us. Sabrina is going to have a special selection to sing as well, and then we have a final song. So let's celebrate communion.
celebrate an event that
took place some 2,000 years ago, but the achievement of the cross has a bearing on how you and I live every day. And I want you to listen very carefully to the song that Sabrina will sing. Again, I believe it's an appropriate expression of faith and assurance, especially on a day like Good Friday.
I am guilty. Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? I've been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you could love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? You overcome. You get. to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be?
How can it be that thou, my king, wouldst die for me? How could it be that when we blow it and we fail Jesus over and over again, that he's always there with his grace and his love? Good Friday, we see Jesus on the cross dying for us. But in fact, the writer of the Hebrews, as he reflects on the death of Christ, says we see Jesus seated high and lifted up in a place of glory. This morning, as we close this service, we invite you, as I've said, to join with us after the service. We would be delighted if all of you can come to our brunch, and it'll be a great meal and a great time of fellowship and a good way to wrap up a Good Friday morning. Make sure, if you can, that you're a Sunday. Sunday is coming, and we're pulling out all the stops. It's going to be a wonderful service. We're going to see two skits again and see what happens to this young brother and sister and where things end up in their journey, and the two fellows we've grown to love who are showing to us in a practical way what went on in this recorded in Mark's gospel. That'll be there for us as well. But as we wrap up this service, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing a great song. And in fact, we have chairs on the platform. This is the disciple's chair that's turned around, but I like to think that you're like a disciple, that you're facing Jesus. And in fact, it might be appropriate, given the song we're going to sing, that the chair is over like this. Kind of bowing down, paying homage to Jesus. So you stand with us. I'm going to ask Sabrina to help lead our final song, and then I'll have a final prayer.
Cry home.
In John's vision of heaven, he says, I saw it as it were a lamb as it had been slaughtered, sitting on the throne. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Jesus. Most people don't get it, don't understand it. They don't know why we would carve out time on a holiday Friday to be here. But we rejoice. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Jesus for what he has done. And we see him high and lifted up. The one who was forsaken so that we could be forgiven. The one who was rejected so that we could be accepted. Is he a worthy Savior? Is he a glorious Lord? Is he worthy of our adoration, our praise, and our worship? Amen. And we celebrate Jesus today. We bow down before him. Let's pray. Father, help us never to be familiar or over-familiar with the mystery and the majesty of this day. And God, we reflect very soberly on what Jesus endured for us. There's a part of us that can never fully understand what it was like for Jesus to be so abandoned, so rejected, so alone that Good Friday. But Father, we claim your promises that you will never leave us or forsake us. Based on what Jesus has done for us, we will never be truly alone. We'll never be truly abandoned or forsaken. You have promised to be with us always because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he die for us? What's so good about Good Friday? Your grace, God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And Father, we thank you for the love that you showed to us through Christ. Jesus, you love us, and we don't fully understand why you would love someone like us. But God, we thank you. We thank you for this Good Friday service. Father, now as we enjoy a time of fellowship, may it be sweet. May we be considerate of one another. And God, you have told us that as Christ has loved us, we are to love one another. So Jesus, I pray that as we embrace one another as we welcome those who may be newer to us. I pray, God, that you will be pleased with what we have come to do this Good Friday service. We thank you for all your blessings and all your goodness to us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And all the people prayed. Amen. So if you can make your way downstairs for the brunch, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.